Among other things, this Wednesday is our Vital Congregations Task Force. We're meeting at 7, and Pastor Aaron Jones, the newest assistant to the bishop, will come and join us for that meeting to share some ideas and some new opportunities in the synod with us. And also, this is the week of Synod Assembly, so I'll be at Synod Assembly on Friday and Saturday. It's at the former Calu, which is now West Penn, California campus, I think. Something close to that. And are there other announcements to be shared? I know there's some about the yard sale. A thank you to all of you for helping with the yard sale. That was a big project this weekend. A wonderful day yesterday.
Tomorrow night is the men's shelter dinner, and thanks to everyone. We're ready to go. We have all the food and to anyone that helped to prepare food or contributed money. Thank you very much. We have wonderful news regarding the yard sale. Our total yesterday was $2,356.60. Thank you to everyone who contributed in any way to make this another wonderfully successful year. And here's where the money will be going. Habitat for Humanity, Glade Run, the Beaver Area School District Backpack Program, Lutheran for Camperships, and Friends in Need. So thank you, everyone.
You're looking into my heart. about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you. Thank you.
the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, doing that by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as a light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm will be read responsively. Listen, my people, when I will speak. Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. I shall not accept the cattle from your stalls, nor goods from your pens.
For all the wild animals of the forest are mine, the cattle of the mountains are mine.
I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the fields are mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine, and all mountains are mine.
Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the goat of the blood of goats?
Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make good your vows to the Most High.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall honor me. The second reading. Paul presents Abraham as a living model of right relationships. For Abraham, for us, a right relationship with God involves trusting that God's promises will be fulfilled. Because God makes the dead alive and calls into existence what otherwise does not exist. A reading from the fourth chapter of Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents to the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Presence of the God in whom you believe, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. And the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for this sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who has handed over for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the
house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he had heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before them, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of the district. The Gospel of our Lord. And it's interesting that this show picks up on Dr. fact, shows one of you as an autistic young man who is gifted in math and with numbers. In Jesus' culture, tax collectors and people who have made mistakes were often not accepted. And what does Jesus do? Does Jesus follow the cultural norms and traditions of excluding people? No. Jesus follows his own values. Jesus lives out God's mercy. And then Jesus challenges his listeners, both in his own time and I think still today, when Jesus said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. I desire mercy." What does mercy mean? It's not a word we use all the time in our everyday language. Wikipedia defines mercy as kindness and forgiveness. Jesus' life was certainly defined by kindness and forgiveness, mercy and grace. As our gospel story goes on, it gives us a couple more examples of mercy and grace. Jesus meets a woman who has been struggling with bleeding for 12 long years. That's a long time to not feel well and not have much energy. From the parallel story in Luke, we know that this woman had gone to many doctors, but no one had been able to help her. When she meets Jesus on the street, she has this longing to touch Jesus' robe, hoping that it will cure her long illness. "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well," she thinks. When she does that, Jesus turns and he looks at her. And seeing her, Jesus sees her with her physical pain and her exhaustion, with her discouragement and her despair. And seeing her fully and completely, seeing her with eyes of compassion and mercy, Jesus said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is merciful. In fact, Jesus is full of mercy. And Jesus gives her this gift of a new beginning when Jesus restores her to wellness and wholeness. Jesus had been on a journey to one of the leaders of the synagogue's house. So Jesus continues to go and see his daughter who had just died. And then Jesus does what people thought was impossible, because they laughed at the thought that she could be alive again. Jesus brings this little girl back to life. Jesus, again, shows compassion and mercy on this grieving father and mother and family. Jesus restores their life to wellness and wholeness. Jesus shows mercy to Matthew, who was on the outside of society, and perhaps the woman who was sick for so long, who had not been part of life in the community, and on the leader of the synagogue, who was one of the leaders of the community. Jesus shows mercy to all, each and every one. Show mercy, grace and kindness is what Jesus did, probably every day of his life. Jesus now invites us and challenges us to learn and practice mercy and kindness. Is it easy? There may be times when being merciful does not require much of us. But there are other times when practicing mercy and grace are very difficult. Chris Williams is a modern-day role model for us in showing mercy and kindness during a most painful and difficult time. You see, in February 2007, Chris Williams and his family were in a terrible accident when they were hit by another car. In that accident, Chris lost his 11-year-old son, his 9-year-old daughter, and his wife, who was pregnant. He witnessed his children and his wife dying while he was in the car injured and in physical pain himself. Chris learned that the driver who caused the accident was a drunk 17-year-old teenager who was later found by the police. This was not purely an accident. The driver chose to first drink alcohol and then chose to drive intoxicated. The driver deliberately chose to risk his own life and someone else's life. And he ended up taking 4 lives, and he changed Chris's life forever. In spite of all this pain, Chris decided to forgive the driver of the other car. Chris decided to show mercy, to give both of them a new beginning. Jesus calls us to learn mercy and to show mercy. In giving his own life on the cross, Jesus has shown us mercy for when we fall short. Let us look for opportunities this week to practice mercy, kindness,